PT Associates of Emporia has experienced physical therapists who have provided quality care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the KVOE studios, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Good morning, everybody. Blake Cripps and Tim Miller in with you today. Dylan is off. He is having a, believe this is a bachelor party weekend down in Wichita.
Look out.
So, hey.
Look out, Wichita.
You never know when he gets rolling. So he's down there. I believe that they are going to all the NCAA tournament games. That's the bachelor weekend.
Is fun.
They are at Interest Bank Arena, and they are camped out. I'm assuming that, you know, on Saturday or the Friday and Sunday, or at least Friday, you know, when they're not games, there's going to be games again today. I assume you go to a sports bar and, you know, you hang out for the day and just watch basketball.
If
I had the weekend off, I think that that's probably the plan. Coming up on the show today, we'll kind of do our normal, you know, kind of around the water cooler talk here in just a little bit. Also, I've got an exclusive interview with Denny Matthews coming up ahead of the Royals season. Always love talking to Denny Matthews about Royals baseball. But we are joined first here in studio today because we're not going to make our guest wait like we have been. So we're calling this the Taylor Scott segment because she kind of popularized this. Well, I'll just show up right at the beginning of the show. Chris Schmidt is here with us, the head boys basketball coach at Olpe, the state champion Olpe boys basketball coach. And as I said when I took over the show, and I don't know how it was done before, but since I've been on the show, if you win a state championship, we're having you on. And so Coach Schmidt is here. Coach, congratulations on the win for you and your guys.
Well, Blake, appreciate it. You know, it's you know, when you start the season there in the middle of November, your goal is to win a state championship or at least make a run at it. So you know, that last Saturday night when it ends and the final buzzer goes off and you're able to watch those kids jump around and celebrate, it's pretty special.
When you came into the season, did you have an idea that this was going to be move your mic up just a little bit if you don't mind. Did you have the feeling coming into the year that, you know what, we got a chance to be really, really good this year?
Well, I think we felt with the returners coming back from last year and that kind of thing that we had an opportunity. Our goal is every year is we set little goals as we go, but we feel like that we're capable if we get to the postseason and do the little things that we can make a run. So, these kids bought into it from day one. I think a lot of them felt good about what we had going on, and they came to work every day, and it's exciting to see their rewards at the end of the season.
Maybe a crazy question for a team that I believe only lost two games all season long, but was there a game during the season where you thought, okay, yeah, we're starting to really put this thing together?
Well, you know, we start off there at the beginning with St. Mary's right off the bat, which we had Brecken and Abbott Bailey was hurt. But that game, you know, we did some okay things from the very beginning. I always say that, Osage City game every year is a very challenging game for us. You know, it's after we played league. It's about 2 weeks after that on a Friday night. Dennis does a great job with his program. We always kind of have that game, and I think Dennis and I both talk about that game, win or lose, is going to show us kind of where we're at, and we got maybe two more weeks to get prepared for the postseason. So that game, again, I think the kids really played well. I think after that game was over, I think they knew then that, hey, we can play with anybody if we play like this. So that game, I think, probably as much as any.
Chris Schmidt is our guest. He is the head basketball coach for Olpe. It was a 19-7 fourth quarter to win the state championship. Third in program history, they beat South Central 47-34. Obviously, in that third quarter, things had really tightened up. The margin got really small, but the best teams, the great teams, obviously play their best when the conditions are the most difficult. What allowed you guys to do that in that fourth quarter of that state championship game?
Well, we thought we were in good position. You know, defensively, we'd been pretty sound. Offensively, you know, we had some shots that just weren't going in. So we just said, stay positive with what we're doing. Let's continue doing what we're doing. And those things will go in. And, you know, once we got a couple up, then, you know, the last three or four minutes, it kind of become a free throw contest for us. They decided to put us on the free throw line. And fortunately, they fouled the same kid a lot. And, you know, Dex was able to step to the line and finish it off. But, you know, these kids, as they said, all three games at state, we were behind at one time or another. But something about this group, as I watched throughout the season, they just kept their composure. They really never got too frustrated. They believed in one another. You know, I didn't take a whole bunch of timeouts because I just felt like they would make that play to turn it, you know, the momentum around, and they did that. You know, again, just credit to all of them. And it's not just who puts the ball. It's maybe an offensive rebound or a deflection that leads to another steal. Those are the type of plays that just change the momentum, and I thought we really did a good job of that in the fourth quarter.
Well, and the thing to do that in those types of situations, in a championship situation, and this isn't a senior-laden team either.
Right, right.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, with Dexon really being our only senior, but these other kids, a lot of them played as sophomores and even freshmen last year in the state tournament. And like I said, we feel like our schedule prepares us very well for these type of games and situations. And again, just a credit to them and their composure of just, you know, making plays when we had to have plays.
Chris Schmidt is our guest, head basketball coach for the Olpe boys. You speak about that senior, and I know that Dexton had gotten injured last year, could not finish out the season the way that you guys wanted, certainly not the way that you want to end your career, going out with an injury. But for him to come back and see that you guys needed to make a response there after South Central had tightened the game up, and for him to score 15 of your 19 points in that fourth quarter, including perfect 10 of 10 down the stretch on the way from the free throw line and 24 points. What does it say about him, and how happy were you for him to come back after that injury, that adversity, and come back and obviously have the ultimate kind of end to your career where you're the guy down the stretch of the last 8 minutes of the game and you win that state title?
Yeah, that's pretty special. You know, for a kid, like you said, that his junior year had to miss the whole season because of a knee injury. But he was there for us. You know, we played a lot of young kids last year. And because of his experience, his sophomore year going through the state process, he helped on the bench. He helped, you know, they'd come off, you know, when I take them out of the games, and he was always talking to them and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the year started, and that leadership was there immediately. You know, he was a kid that after I'd maybe get on somebody a little bit, he immediately would say, hey, it's okay, you'll get in the next time. You're all right. And that's what you got to have. You got to have that type of kid. And, yeah, again, the storybook ending of how it ended in the fourth quarter with him, you know, stepping up and getting 50. But he's put the hard work, the dedication into it since he was a little kid. He plays every sport just like he did there, as hard as he can with everything he's got. And for him to have that, you know, that moment was special there. And it was nice to be able to, with 49 seconds to go, to let him come off the, you know, he ends up a sub there, everybody else, and he had to make that free throw, and sure enough, he makes that last one to have that opportunity to come off the court by himself. You know, that was pretty special to see.
As you look at those three games at state, maybe the toughest one was game one. Was it just trying to get through that first game at state? Maybe some jitters, maybe? Or
yeah, you know, we played Little River 2 weeks before, which when that game was over, I told my son, I said, that team could be a back of state. They're worthy of being there. I know I talked to the officials after the game, and they said that was like a state game, and I really did. And, you know, we knew we were on opposite sides in the same regional, but we were on as opposite sides for the sub-state. So when that drew up, you know, I think in a way it helped us a little bit because we knew what they were capable of doing. And I agree totally, Tim. I think that was that offensively they had more options than anybody else we played. And they're solid, and they're young. So, you know, I really felt like any time you play in the state tournament, that first game is the one, because if you win that, you're guaranteed you're going to play every to the last day that everybody else in the state of Kansas is playing. And that's a special feeling, and it just makes that experience that much more time for our kids, as we call it, family, our brothers, to be together, you know, for another 48 hours. And so that's pretty special. But yeah, getting through that first one is always the toughest one.
Well, definitely. And you guys obviously have such a community down there. You have such a program. Can you just kind of talk us through OLPI and the OLPI Eagles ecosystem? Because it's not just boys basketball. You guys have made multiple state deep trips in football. You guys have had great track and field athletes. You guys have had a great girls basketball program. What is it about you? I mean, hey, you know, you're the guy who gets credit for some of that because you're the athletic director too. And, you know, when you coach half the teams, I guess you probably ought to rehire yourself and give yourself a raise next year too. But, you know, what allows you guys just as a community and as a school to say, okay, we want athletics to be really good here. And how have you guys been able to pull that off?
Well, Blake, I think one thing that's important is, and I talk about this a lot, is we are a building that's connected K through 12. So our little kids, our kindergartners, they intertwine with our high school kids almost every day in the hallways. You know, going to PE class, they'll see the high school kids, that kind of stuff. And I really feel over the years that's been a special thing that those kids, and I talk to my kids day one about, hey, when you're in a hallway, those kids are looking at you right now. They are your hero. There's several of those first and second graders. They get to know your name. They're like, hey, I want to be like Dexon Holting when I get in high school. And so I think it starts there with our young kids seeing it. You know, they're at all our pep rallies, all our, you know, school functions when we can get them to be a part of it. So I think that ingrinds in those kids, you know, right away, and they see that. And then obviously, you know, the support of our community and you know, just like, for instance, state, we don't have to worry about getting any drinks or food, whatever. It's there for us when we take off for the state tournament. And then I've got four or five people just waiting that they're dying for me to call and say, hey, we need more drinks. we need more bananas because they're there, you know. And then, like you said, to come back home like you win a state championship and you come back at 12:30 at night. Well, actually, we got in town probably a little after 1 o'clock, and Main Street is just full of people, you know, for the celebration and that kind of stuff. But they're part of that because of what they do when the season, you know, they're doing stuff now. You know, they're already starting to do some things in preparation for, you know, the next sport and next year and that kind of stuff. We couldn't be where we're at without everybody in our community.
You've won three state titles in the last 5 years now. How is this one different in your mind, maybe, than the other two?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Everybody, that's right away you ask about that. I think the thing about this team, we weren't the best defensive team as we progressed, and that was something, even though, you know, when you look at our numbers, it's not too bad. Our goal is, we always say, we don't want the other team to score 40 points, which we had five games, I think, this year where they scored 40 points or more. So that's kind of our goal. We feel like if they don't score 40, we're going to score 40, we're going to win ball game. So that's our mentality, and this team, you know, it took us a while to figure that out. We're not the biggest team. You know, we played a lot of guards. A lot of times we played four out, one in. So, you know, but again, you got like a Dexon Holting that's 5'8" that would play a 6'3" kid, but he'd play him awful well. And so, you know, it took us a while. We like to gamble a little bit. that kind of stuff. We weren't the best at keeping people in front of us. Honestly, we played more zone this year than I probably ever have as a coach, because I just thought at times we weren't ready. And we had athletic guards and active people in a zone, so it worked out for us pretty good. But when it comes down to it, if you're going to win a state championship, you just got to be able to play man-to-man defense. And honestly, I thought our best man-to-man defense was played last weekend in those three games. It really come around. Offensively, we had options. You know, we had three guys that scored in double. You know, Brecken's a kid that could go off any nine. Dexton, Abbott, Bailey. We had another two kids that scored eight, nine points a game. You know, I think we had five kids throughout the season lead us in scoring in games. So, you know, we figured, you know, some guy might not get his points that night, but somebody else would pick that up. So the scoring part, we felt like offensively we could put points. It was the defensive side of it. And, you know, it took a little longer with this group than it has with some other ones. And a lot, some of that's just, you know, being in different positions and how we had to adjust because of our size and that kind of stuff. But, again, they stuck with it. They believed in it. And, you know, it came out last weekend.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the people that show up at 1 o'clock in the morning to light up Main Street for you guys, and just the tradition that you have down there, the support from the community. We want to thank the community for supporting us. We had every state tournament game on our airwaves on Country 101.7. Could not have done that with all the great local sponsors from Emporia, Olpe, and around Lyon County. So thank them very much. And also to Michael Deeker for calling the play-by-play. And, I mean, after the game, you know, he was signing off. He was a little bit emotional, you know, talking about playing for you previously and watching this kind of grow in his lifetime. So I guess my final question for you is not just about, you know, Deeker, who we love, but, you know, everybody else. What's it like to see these guys grow up and still feel that connection to your program, whether it be football or basketball?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I told him when I got back to the gym that night, when I got on the bus they're out there at Dodge City, I had 77 text messages already. And, you know, 90% of those were alumni kids that have played for me or coaches that have been at, you know, those people had been part of our programs or been at OP schools. And that right there says a lot. It just, nothing as a coach is better than getting texts from alumni kids that played for you and say, hey, coach, couldn't happen to a better guy, or congratulations and that kind of stuff. And again, that's what makes OP special. And, you know, I love having people come back, and the people that aren't back, they still stay in contact with us. You know, I have other coaches down there the same way. They say they get texts from guys that, you know, ran track for them 5 years ago, you know, 15 years ago. They're saying, hey, Coach Gamey and I, good to see you again, that kind of stuff. You know, you talk about Michael Deeker, you know, It is special to have an alumni guy that played for you. He probably knows me better than anybody.
I mean, sure.
You ask him stats and that kind of, he'll know him. If someone asks me something, call Michael. He knows better than me. But, you know, to have him on a call, you know, you talk to people that can't come to the game. And again, thank you guys and thank all the sponsors for allowing that opportunity to, you know, carry our games and that. But you talk to people that they really feel like they're there when Michael is one of our own, and because he just knows so much about us and about the teams and the kids himself. So, you know, you guys make it special, KVUE, you know, the station of carrying our games, the sponsors do it. Again, we wouldn't be where we're at without people like that and helping us out. So it really means a lot to our community and everybody involved.
Well, thanks so much again for all your time, because as you guys know who will listen, you know, Dylan talks, and I know Dylan, if he were here, he'd be greatly appreciative as well, because we ask a lot of our area coaches. It's certainly Coach Schmidt, one of them, with Coaches Corners pregame for area games of the week. We ask a lot of their time, and boy, it's a lot of fun when it comes together like this, and we get to have you on and talk about a state championship. Congratulations again. Thank you so much.
You bet. Like, appreciate it. Again, anytime is an opportunity, but talk about our kids and our community, it means a lot to us. So thank you very much.
Chris Schmidt, the athletic director and the state champion boys basketball coach of the Olpe Eagles, 24-2. Let's take our first time out. No athletes of the week this week because of the sports calendar. Spring sports have not yet started, but we'll get back to our Emporia Main Street athletes of the week here in a couple of weeks. When we come back, Tim and I will stand around the water cooler for a little bit before we get you ready for that Denny Matthews interview to preview the Royal season. That's up next on KVOE, live and local.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity. Or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. It's the best time of the year for college basketball, and while March Madness is in full swing, we'd like to recognize a fixture of the sport who just retired from the sidelines. Fran Dunphy just finished his 33rd and final season coaching a Division I team in the Philadelphia area. The major programs in the city are often referred to as the Big Five, and Dunphy coached at three of those schools. He led Penn for 17 seasons, then spent another 13 as the head man at Temple. He just retired after three seasons on the job at LaSalle, his alma mater. In total, Dunphy coached over 1,000 games and reached the NCAA tournament on 17 different occasions. Now the winningest head coach in the history of Philadelphia's Big Five is officially retired.
The competition is hard to beat, to be honest with you. And the other part that's so phenomenal in what it is we do is the camaraderie that you have with the players and with the other coaches. And I feel like I'm one of the luckier people that I know and had a chance to do this for a lot of years in a city like Philadelphia. So we're excited by whatever the next step is for me.
Titles on the track next on This Week in the NCAA.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Field championships are complete. Congrats to the USC Trojans, whose men's team just won their first national title in 53 years. On the women's side, Oregon won their eighth indoor championship in program history. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Once again, we're kind of going out of order here a little bit, but Coach Mitt was here, and boy, it's been one of my favorite things that we've done is being able to have on, you know, some of these coaches that are, you know, after they win a state championship. God, that's so awesome to have those guys on. And then they work so hard, and, you know, this isn't like the Big 12. These guys are not making millions of dollars or, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're doing it because they enjoy the process. They love their kids. They love their schools. They're invested in their communities. They're doing it for all the right reasons. And I know, you know, the city of Volpe is in so blessed to have a guy like Coach Schmidt, not just to coach their teams, football and basketball, but to help run their program. Just a guy that totally gets what, you know, high school athletics is supposed to be all about, and knows that you can, you know, run it the right way and do everything for the community, but also win at the same time.
Well, it's quite the community from top to bottom in terms of how they're all together. I mean, it's a culture there, and it's very,
I don't know if I've ever heard of that before.
It's impressive.
K through 12, all in the same building. Yeah. Like when he talked about that, I was like, man. Yeah. That's kind of a hell of a thing, because I've you know, even in Nebraska, where you have smaller schools, you know, because I my first market was a market of, you know, gosh, I think they claimed 4,200, like maybe it was 4,000 on Easter where they're in Fairbury.
Yeah.
It was 3,500 most of the year, but have K through 12 all in one place. That's really interesting how, you know, you kind of walk by. And I do remember what it was like. My parents used to talk about it when we played baseball out at Kinberry in Topeka. You know, you'd go up and you'd watch, you know, we were in, I don't remember what the age group was, like 8 years old or whatever. And you go watch, you know, 14-year-olds play or 16-year-olds play and like, oh my God, they're watching like high school, college athletes.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those kids, it'd be like, yeah, they're probably looking up. I'm like, my God, those are adults that I'm talking to right there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it is a unique situation, unique concept. And it certainly does, in a very good way, put pressure on those older kids to lead by example. Oh,
when you say, you know, hey, you know what, this person might want to be, and there's, you know, I'm just got here, so I don't know the history, but of all the great OP players that there have been, but, you know, if you say, hey, you know, guess what, you need to, somebody's going to want to be you.
Yep.
Here in 10 or 15 years.
Yep.
So you need to act the right way so that they know what's going on so that they can continue this tradition.
Yeah, I think there's an extra level of accountability probably when you're in that situation. So, but, yeah, what a great deal. None of them have been more successful than Coach Schmidt. Now multiple championships in football and basketball. Just an incredible run.
Well, I am not on the morning show sports on Monday. Dylan's doing the Monday. We're kind of switching to our summer schedule, so I'll be in Tuesday through Friday. So I won't have the trivia question on Monday. But if I were there, you know, one trivia question that I could have is, which Big 12 men's basketball team didn't make it out of the first round? Do you know the answer to that, Tim?
Isn't it awful? Seven teams in the Big 12 make it into the NCAA tournament. Only one lost in the first round. And, yes, it would be our very own.
Your Kansas Jayhawks.
Kansas Jayhawks. Thank you, Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone else won. Although, you know, we've talked all season long, this team's been inconsistent, and they probably got what they deserved at the end.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you watch how they played that last 3 minutes, and granted, bad deal with KJ Adams going out of the game and whatnot, but still, the pass. I don't know where Hunter Dickinson thought that pass was going.
Those four straight turnovers, two of those were about the worst turnovers that I saw all year. I definitely would not have thought, because there were plenty of times where the team did not play in flow when Adams was in the game, but when he went out, you know, it definitely seemed to break.
I don't know why that happened. It's like they all knew this is a serious injury, and their mind just went completely away from the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, their minds went away from the game in a lot of games this year,
sure.
So it seems. So, you know, hey, you know, Bill Self's never going to have a hot seat. But he really needs to do some soul searching on what's next for this program.
Sure.
Because we're talking multiple years now of double-digit losses, losing the first weekend of the tournament. You take the 22 championship team out of the scenario, I think it's either four of the last five or five of the last six, they haven't made it out of the first weekend
sure.
of the NCAA tournament. So.
Well, and let's do remember that 29, nobody can convince me that 2019-2020 team wasn't going to win the national championship. But, yeah, I mean, it's been some quick trips, and that's not something you're used to. He came in, he had a couple of trips only to the second round, and he's been one and done before. But, yeah, hopefully next year they'll get things figured out. A team that definitely got it figured out on Friday was the Kansas State women. Mm-hmm. With Yoka Lee coming back, and certainly they had a size advantage, and they, you know, they did not want to let Fairfield get out and run, and they didn't, and they just really smothered them defensively, holding them to under 30% shooting, and Kansas State shot 53%. This is a Kansas State team, similarly, and this goes back, you know, this is years, like the entirety of the program, and they've had good Kansas State teams, but this particular game, this game in the second round, this has been a problem for Kansas State women's basketball. I don't know if you want to use the monkey on the back or whatever, you know, whatever phrase you want to use, but this has been a round where Kansas State has struggled in, despite having all-time greats. And certainly, boy, last year, you know, when you're seeing, you know, Gabby crying at the podium there after the season's over when you lose at home. That was as painful of a loss as you can possibly imagine for Kansas State Nation. So can they come out, put together one great game, get themselves into the Sweet 16 and kind of make a run? Because that's a team that many people thought coming into the year would have a chance to maybe, I mean, I think they were as high as number two this year before the Ayoka Lee injury. And so if Ayoka Lee is 100%, boy, she looked like 100% going 17-10. And Serena Sundell playing the way that she has been with 9 assists, you know, if that team plays like that with good defense, you know, what's to say that Kansas State couldn't make a little bit of a run here?
Well, and if any team is going to do it as far as K-State teams, you would assume this would be the team that would do it. So hopefully they can put it all together today, get past this round, which, as you said, has been a real nemesis for them.
Yeah, Sunday they get Kentucky, and I don't think that the tip-off time has been announced yet for that on Sunday. Hopefully they'll be able to make a little bit of a run there. In terms of other local news, Bob Davis passing away. Man.
That was they didn't release it until later in the day. Bob Davis, of course, longtime radio announcer for the Kansas Jayhawks, did Royals baseball prior to KU, Fort Hays State. A guy that had 40-plus years in the industry, and there was nothing like listening to Bob Davis at the microphone.
No. Bob and Max is what I grew up with, and you know, probably nobody more than Bob that influenced me as, you know, a broadcaster, when I thought, oh, you know, this might be something that might be fun to do for a job if I could figure out how to do it. And there are so many great Bob Davis calls in games and of these great Jayhawk moments. But of all of them, I've got one here for you to play. This is my favorite, and this is at the end of a game. This is the last game at Missouri in Big 12 conference play, and this isn't even at the end of the game, but this is my favorite Bob Davis call.
Just trying to get it across midcourt, loses it, stolen, and a foul on Marcus. Oh, they call it intentional foul. Oh my goodness, he just reached down. They're calling it an intentional foul. The same guy that called the palming the ball. What in the world?
I'm in shock. Marcus reached out trying to get the ball back. They call intentional foul.
How can that possibly be an intentional foul? Denman to the line. Taylor and Markeith will check back in a moment.
Boy, and the replay.
Oh. Free throw's good. Well, what a break here for Missouri. Still 2:40 to play. These back-to-back calls here by Oglesby defy definition, don't they?
He did have a passion, didn't he?
I love that call from Bob Davis. My God, that's my favorite. Of course, KU would go on to lose that game, and there was a somewhat big border war at Allen Fieldhouse after that the good guys won.
What a jewel.
I love Bob Davis, and, you know, at the end, it was – you know, it was time. Yeah. He was not the broadcaster that he was at the end. But, back then, when in the heyday and the national championship run, I mean, he was so entertaining to listen to.
Absolutely.
And, for generations of Jayhawk fans. But that's the call. The last Big 12 game with Chris Piper on the network at Missouri. And, by the way, that call was atrocious,
Yes, it was.
One of the worst flagrant foul calls probably in the history of the sport.
Yep, it was bad.
But, you know.
But, so Kansas, obviously lost a real jewel.
And George Foreman dying.
George Foreman passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, 76, I think
something
he was.
Something like that.
It was a rough day, obviously, in the sports world.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, one other thing, if we're speaking of things kind of off the court,
we need to say
pancakes.
We need to say thank you, don't we?
Yeah,
we were gifted some breakfast this morning from the Kiwanis Club of Emporia. It's the 77th annual Pancake Day, and they are still serving them up. They're going to be serving them up until 1 o'clock. They fed us this morning. Fantastic! It's going to be $12 at the door for all the pancakes that you can eat, with two Fantastil meats, bacon, sausage links. You'll get a milk or unlimited coffee. $12 for the Kiwanis Club of Emporia. Fantastic breakfast this morning.
Yep. And the funds will go to benefit their projects, also benefits area youth. They were good. And Man, those Fannistel links.
Oh, for sure.
Boy, those are tasty.
They just set it off.
Yeah.
It's all at the Anderson Building, the Lyon County Fairgrounds, Anderson Building, once again, 77th Annual Pancake Day for the Kiwanis Club of Emporia, Anderson Building, Lyon County Fairgrounds, $12, going to be well worth your time. Certainly the donation that you make, the money is going to be well served in the Emporia community. So get out there for 77th Annual Pancake Day. Really appreciate Kiwanis Club of Emporia taking care of us as well. $12 at the door. They've got more information on Facebook as well for the Kiwanis Club of Emporia 77th Annual Pancake Day. Well, we'll take our final time out. Earlier last week, Denny Matthews was made available to me once again by the Royals for the second straight year. I was able to interview him ahead of the season. So thankful for Denny's time and getting set for another year of Royals baseball. We'll be your home for Royals baseball once basketball is done. Obviously, we'll have the Royals on just about every single day that they play right here on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. Hope you enjoy Royals baseball. And so, Denny Matthews, my talk with him last week to get you set for the 2025 season is coming up next. So, Tim, anything you're planning on doing today as we kind of step aside here and let Denny take over?
Well, I was had minor hopes of watching a basketball game today, but those were dashed on Thursday.
Well, there's plenty of basketball
I know.
To watch.
It's just, you know, it's just not the same. But sure. No, I'm sure I'll probably watch some hoops this weekend and catch some of the tournament.
And we've got NCAA tournament coverage for you basically all weekend, 11 o'clock today, 11 o'clock tomorrow, wall-to-wall NCAA tournament right here on KVOE.
I will say, granted they still have a lot of teams left, but maybe the SEC wasn't the juggernaut.
Maybe not.
Now, granted, great non-con record. Take nothing away from them. They got 14 teams in out of the 16. Well, they lost six of them in the first round.
Sure.
So,
yeah, that maybe not quite as good as people thought. The last thing that I'll mention is that I'll be going out to the ballpark, actually, because the Hornets are in action. They're taking on Newman with a chance to win their second MIAA series today.
All right.
So big win yesterday over the Jets, and they will get started at 2 o'clock out at the Tressler Sports Complex. Well, so I'll be out there to watch some Hornet baseball. Lady Hornets are on the road. They've got a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader. They're making the Pitt State Missouri Southern trip this weekend. Coach Rosales kind of begged out because they got back late from Florida this week, wanted to spend some time down in Florida, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Some beach houses.
I understand.
So they're playing Saturday, Sunday this weekend. That's the reason for that. But they're on the road. But Emporia State Baseball gets started 2 o'clock first pitch today here in Emporia at the Tressler Sports Complex. I think that's it. Let's take our time out. We've got Denny Matthews talking Royals baseball when we come back here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity. Or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com. As you are well aware, we are getting set for Royals baseball. It's the earliest season opener in Royals history, but we've still got the same guy calling the action, Denny Matthews, the voice of the Royals. He joined me earlier before opening day to get set for another fantastic Royals season right here on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Well, Denny, it's so great to have you on for the second year to talk with us ahead of the season. You know, I asked you last year at the end. It was the first time I had gotten to talk to you. It was a real treat for me. And I asked you, hey, what do you think about a win total? And like, I don't really do those. And you gave me an old baseball quote about, you know, when it comes to baseball, you don't know nothing. And boy, when you look at last year in the Royals, we got a big taste of how much nothing we know, didn't we?
Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah, who predicted the Royals would be 30 games better last year than they were the year before? And I want to talk to that guy. So, no, I don't think he's still breathing. But that was just a really exciting, tremendous season. A lot of guys had their career years, and we'll see what happens this year. Every year is different. We know that. Every team's different, and that goes for the other four teams in the Royals division. So it's always toss-up, and that's what makes it exciting and fun.
In a season in which there were so many things that went right and therefore so many things that surprised people about how well the Royals played, was there one thing in your mind that stood out as maybe the biggest positive surprise from last season?
Well, this is going to be two things, I guess, but pitching and defense were terrific. Ability to get on base was much, much better. Fewer strikeouts, which are the biggest negative offensively you can think about. But, those were the keys. And just like every season, every team, pitching and defense are so important. And if the offense follows along, why, you've got a contender.
One guy that I saw down in Wichita, he was a long time, and this will date him and me a little bit, but a long time Indians fan, and he's obviously still a fan of the Guardians, but a huge Cleveland baseball fan. And, you know, we were kind of joking like, oh yeah, just like everybody thought it was going to be, the American League Central, the best division in the American League last year, with so many teams having breakout years. How do you see the American League Central in terms of comparison to the other divisions going into 2025?
Well, the Central last year was much better. They went from the worst to the best, or one of the best, let's put it that way. But the Cleveland team always has excellent pitching. Minnesota, you never know about. Detroit was much better, especially in the last 6-7 weeks of the season. White Sox were, of course, miserable. But they cannot possibly be any worse. And, I mean, that's almost mathematically impossible. So they'll probably be a little more competitive, although that much, who knows? They may have five guys come out of nowhere and be real solid big leaguers. And that, again, that's the intrigue of the game of baseball. You just don't know.
Denny Matthews is my guest, the voice of the Royals. Of course, we'll have the Royals games. Well, I don't know how many years in consecutive we've had, but it's going to be another great year of Royals baseball here on KVOE. Certainly one guy that people weren't necessarily surprised about because the expectations were so high, but meeting the expectations is never easy, especially when they're as high as maybe the Royals fans had them for Bobby Witt Jr. last year. In terms of meeting expectations, surpassing expectations, a guy that played consistently in the regular season but also delivered big clutch hits in the postseason in the two series that the Royals played. You know, in terms of where Bobby Witt Jr., where does he go from there from just a fantastic 2024?
Well, if he replicates that, it's a great year. But he's a very unusual talent. And how good can he be again? That's a great unknown. But if he stays healthy, if he continues to improve, and there are little things that he wants to be better and make him a totally complete player, but he is so unusual because he has every element of a great baseball player: the speed, the power, the ability to make contact, the defense, base running skill, baseball IQ, you go on, and that's him. And it's just so unusual to have a player with all those talents. Most guys who are really great players, there's always one thing maybe they don't quite do as well. But I'm still trying to figure out what Witt can't do well. So, yeah, enjoy watching him every time you're at the ballpark, and he'll be treated.
Well, one thing that other that Royals fans also really enjoyed last year was just seeing the quality pitching, and it's not often that you get a couple of guys who are both in the Cy Young running and both in the running for Gold Glove, a pitcher, but the Royals were that team that had two guys in terms of pitching. Does it feel like pitching is a little bit more settled this year? Certainly doing it one year is one thing, but putting that together for two consecutive years, totally different, as you know, but does it feel like things are more settled in terms of where the Royals are going to get their pitching from this year?
It seems like it right now, doesn't it? And I think the guys last year, one of the things, and there were some veterans like Waka and Lugo who had already figured this out, but it always is good to see the young guys accept the fact that you've got a very good defense behind you, so don't walk people. And that was one of the big improvements last year for the Royals, was lack of the free bases. 2 years ago, the Royals seemed like they walked the entire American League, but not last year. So you might as well throw strikes. If the ball's in play, you got seven guys behind you, plus the catcher are going to probably make the play. And so that was one of the big improvements last season, and it served everybody well. It was on the pitching staff.
One thing that the Royals seem to have an abundance of, and it's a real luxury, I think, obviously, Salvador Perez, he's my favorite player, but even I am well aware that he's not going to play for forever, and he, you know, the body's starting to break down, spending some more time over at first base. But to have a guy that can come in and give the quality innings, not just offensively, but defensively, like Freddie Fermin, how much of a benefit is that for a club that's got an aging catcher to be able to extend Salvi's career because he can still do things offensively and also kind of build up the next great Royals catcher, because Fermin and his opportunities has really, really been great.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else, Blake. He's not only you see the things physically, which you described very well, but he's really the heartbeat of the team emotionally. And that is so important in the clubhouse and on the buses and on the road trips and in the home ballpark. It doesn't matter where you are, but you have to have a couple of guys in the clubhouse who are, let's call them leaders for lack of a better expression. And it's so difficult to find that. I mean, leaders in any sport, on any team, it's really hard to identify and to find. You can't buy it, you can't rent it, you can't discover it in the ground. I mean, it's something that you really need for a successful team, and Perez has been that for so long. And when a young guy loses his way a little bit, he's maybe in a slump, who does he go and talk to? Well, Perez probably is at the top of the list. Some of the other guys will chip in, but yeah, Perez, aside from what he does on the field, which has been enormous through the years, is, as I said, really the heartbeat and the emotional statue of the team. He's the guy that everybody goes to.
Is there something about him? We're talking with Denny Matthews, the voice of the Royals. It seems like that guy on a lot of teams has been catcher. Is there something about catchers that make them more well-suited to that role than maybe another position in baseball? And maybe I'm just projecting anecdotally just because I like Salvador Perez.
Well, no, I think there's a lot to that. But think about it this way. The catcher on a baseball team is the only guy looking toward center field. Everybody else is looking the other way. So he takes it all in. And why do so many catchers become big league managers? Great question, right?
Yeah, that's a great question.
They think the game. They process the game. They think the game. They have to be in the game every pitch. Now, if you're out in left field, in a game that nothing is coming your way, your mind can wander a little bit, but not too much on the big league level. But, yeah, the point is the catcher's in every play, in every pitch. So I think that's one of the big items.
One of the things that we've really enjoyed being in Kansas City, and certainly, you know, the Royals, Chiefs Kingdom kind of overlap a little bit, but the Chiefs have had such a great run in terms of building their front office and being stable at the head coaching position with ownership, with a general manager. Does it feel like we're on the cusp of starting an era like that with J.J. Piccolo? They extend Q in the dugout as the manager. They have a great season last year. It feels like everybody's working together and really getting on the same page, a lot like the tenants out there at the Truman Sports Complex.
Yeah, you said the words, working together, and they do. And they get along so well, and they're very talented. And that's the big thing. And they can identify talent. And that's not easy to do. I mean, scouts, people that can evaluate talent are just few and far between. And boy, if you've got them, you better hang on to them. And the Royals have done a good job of that. So the front office is about as solid as it gets.
What do you think about all of these different rules changes that have been proposed? Obviously, you know, they've changed the size of the bases. Certainly seems like there are some guys that had a lot of success stealing bases last year, and that's certainly become a bigger part of the game than maybe it had in the past. But you see all these different sports, especially the NBA is the big talk right now about too many threes and all that. I know for baseball, it was like, oh, well, it's all home runs and strikeouts, and that's maybe not as good for the game. But everything getting put in place right now, they're talking about golden runners, the Manfred man in extra innings during the regular season. What are your thoughts as baseball tries to figure out the best product for people and also try to evolve and stay relevant with younger fans?
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job in the last 3 or 4 years on the new rules. And I think the pitch count, moving the game along from a 3 hour and 22 minute slug to a 2.5 hour role play game, I think maybe the pitch count rule and moving the game along has saved the game. I mean, people were wandering away in the seventh inning of a long, long game, especially a night game Wednesday night, and everybody goes to work the next day. And if it's 10 to 11 and you're in the eighth inning, you're probably not going to be able to hang around and watch the end of the game. And who doesn't want to watch the end of the game when you've invested 3 hours in a game? You kind of want to watch the last half hour and the last couple innings. So, yeah, to answer your question in a long form, I think the rules so far over the last 3 or 4 years that they've implemented turned out to be very good.
Denny Matthews is my guest. It seems funny to look back now as somebody who called games at the NBC World Series and certainly as the PA announcer before I moved up here for the wind surge in Wichita, all the consternation that there was over the pitch clock that's worked out so well, as you beautifully described. What are your thoughts on, and I don't believe it's coming this year, but everybody's getting a look at this automatic balls and strikes, the ABS challenge system that looks like it's going to be coming to Major League Baseball maybe as soon as next season are the reports right now. What are your thoughts on what you've seen of that in spring training so far?
Well, I've got to see more of it on the big league level when the games really count. And the way they have implemented it in the minor leagues and in spring training, I think it's been pretty seamless. So I don't think it's bad. And if it slows the game down a little bit, so be it. Not much. I think they've done it very well so far, but I'm sort of a sit back, wait and see on that one.
Final question for you. Looking at this year's Royals team, obviously, I'm not going to ask you the win question because I learned my lesson last year. We don't know nothing about baseball. But is there one question mark that you have about this team that maybe you'd like to see answered in the first month or something that's going to make the difference as to whether the team maybe takes a step forward, stands pat, or slides back this year?
Well, Blake, that's a pretty easy question because I think the real problem last year for the Royals offensively was the production from the outfield, and it was minimal. And so if that picks up, the infield, the catching positions provided a lot of offense, in fact, most of it. But if the outfielders can chip in, your left fielder and right fielder on the big league level typically provide the RBIs and the runs scored and the power. And if you don't have that in the outfield, you've lost a big hunk of your offense. And perhaps because of that, that's three guys. Well, you get three outs per inning. So you might be playing a six-inning game offensively if your outfielders aren't producing. That may be a simplistic way of breaking it down. But the point is, if the outfield doesn't produce, it's going to be a struggle for the Royals to score enough runs to win a lot of games.
Denny Matthews, the voice of the Royals, you'll hear him, you'll hear Jake, Steve, Ryan, all those guys all year long. Can't wait for Royals baseball to get started right here on your home for the Royals in Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Denny, thanks so much for the time again. Have a great season.
You're sure welcome, Blake, and thanks to you guys. You do a great job for us on the network and all the great fans. Follow the Royals down in Emporia and the area around there. We always look forward to seeing them at the ballpark.
Man, always so great to talk with Denny Matthews about Royals baseball. Have really enjoyed getting to talk with him these last 2 years. Well, that brings us to our breakdown of the schedule coming up for the rest of the day, today and tomorrow on the KVOE network of stations. Pretty simple. We've got NCAA tournament coverage for you. It begins at 11 a.m. today with second round coverage, and 11 a.m. tomorrow, second round coverage on 1400 a.m., 96.9 FM KVOE. So enjoy the madness today and tomorrow. And of course, we've got more NCAA tournament coverage coming next week with the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. For Tim Miller, thank you to our guests, Denny Matthews, of course, and Chris Schmidt, the head coach of the Olpe Eagles. I'm Blake Cripps. This is KVOE Emporium. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network in just a moment. Have a great rest of your Saturday.